Most of us don't think twice about buying a book or a coat or a box of diapers online. But okay, what about groceries? Online shopping for groceries and consumer packaged goods is lagging way behind other forms of online shopping. But my next guest believes grocery chains and retailers who don't get on board with e-commerce could go the way of circuit cities or borders. Amitabh Sinha is a professor of technology and operations at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. He's been studying e-commerce of groceries. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You say grocery e-commerce is at a tipping point right now, meaning what?
In the e-commerce space, groceries and consumer packaged goods have lagged. So they're only about 3% of the total grocery and CPG sales. What I would say is over here is that the growth rates are increasing to the point that grocery retailers cannot afford to ignore this anymore. They're growing at about 15 to 20% year on year, which means they would double in about 5 years. And pretty much every grocery retailer that you think of is experimenting with engaging with e-commerce in some way, whether through their own operation or through a partnering with, you know, Instacart, Deliv, Google Express, one of those.
Just so we're all on the same page, when we say consumer packaged goods, an example would be?
Diapers would be laundry detergent, any of the non-food items that you would buy in a grocery store.
Okay, and then groceries is everything from my box of cereal to my dozen eggs to my head of lettuce.
Absolutely, and you know, we can sort of put those together, just call it groceries for short,
So, what has been holding it back? I mean, what makes selling groceries online an extra challenge, not only for stores and also for consumers?
From the consumer side, when it comes to groceries, there's this perception that you're not entirely sure of the quality of what you're getting. Are you getting the best quality produce? Are you getting meat that is actually fresh and it's the best cut? And can you be sure that it has been maintained at the right temperature and not, you know, been contaminated by the time it gets to your home? Consumers who trust buying online for many other things, for things like a book. Mm-hmm. Right? What's the worst that can happen to a book when it comes online? But with groceries, the quality issue becomes a big deal. So that's the consumer demand side. And then on the supply side, on the retailer side, it is just very, very expensive to deliver these items. The average price of an item in the grocery store is $3.25. And the profit margin on that is really thin. And to be able to efficiently deliver a basket of 20, 40, 50, 60 items with those thin margins, but the extra cost of home delivering and picking that order is very expensive. And so the retailers themselves have been very reluctant to engage with this in a big way.
And it sounds like to have a healthy profit margin, we'd be paying a whole lot more for that order of groceries.
Absolutely. Groceries is one of the few places where right now very few retailers will provide the service for free. Right? For many other things, you can get free shipping. For groceries, you know, there are promotions and occasionally you can get stuff for free. But for the most part, retailers are charging a fee. And what our research also shows is that consumers are willing to pay that fee.
How much, though? What kind of fee? What are we willing to pay?
So anywhere from $3 to $12. And there's a whole range, both on the willingness side to pay and also how much retailers charge. Right. So what our survey did was we looked at a $5 benchmark, that at $5, would you increase your spend, decrease your spend, keep it the same? And we found that about 80% of customers said they would keep it the same or increase. That means there's a fair amount of tolerance for a $5 fee. If you look at what companies are doing, our local Bush's, I think they charge $6.95. Some others charge as high as $12. I think Meijer, where they're testing out in Grand Rapids, they're charging a flat fee of $5, although they might be running a promotion right now of zero. Some other third-party services are charging $3.99, $4.99, and so on.
What are these systems and features looking like as they're experimenting? Is it being delivered to my home? Am I coming in special drive-through window?
Absolutely. So those are the two big major categories of this activity. One is where it's delivered to your home in a truck. You know, this goes back many, many years. If you think of some of the old systems like, I think, Schwinn's, whichever one it is, where you would call online and call on the phone and, you know, have it delivered to your house or subscription services and so on. You know, you're ordering on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer, but in principle, it's still coming in a truck delivered to your home. What's emerging more and more now is also the drive-through pickup or the walk-in pickup. You would order on your phone, tablet, computer. You would pick a time window. So you would say, let's say 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. for me, 4 to 5 p.m. And at that point of time, you either drive up to the store and somebody loads it into your trunk, or you walk in, pick it up from there, and then you drive off. Either way, what you are saving is the time spent walking the aisles in the store, and what the retailer is saving is the cost to drive it to your home.
Sure, okay.
That's the biggest part. That's what we call in our industry the last mile, and the last mile is the most expensive mile.
Interesting. And how much of this is happening? Because I'm not familiar and aware of this happening mm-hmm. in Oakland County where I live, but it might be. How prevalent is this already?
It is fairly prevalent, but it's also increasing. Kroger, which mm-hmm. is one of the largest grocery chains in the country, they are experimenting. They bought Harris Teeter a year or two ago. Harris Teeter is a grocery chain in the southeastern United States. Harris Teeter has a fairly extensive online operation. So in that part of the country, now there's lots of online groceries. Kroger itself is experimenting in Cincinnati, and presumably they plan to learn from it to roll it out nationwide. Likewise, Meijer is experimenting in one location in Grand Rapids. They call it Meijer Curbside. And, you know, you order, you drive up within 3 hours, they load it into your trunk, you go out. Walmart is experimenting in a couple of different locations in both Bentonville, Arkansas, as well as perhaps one in Colorado and so on. So many are at the experimental stage from where they expect to expand. My guess would be within 1 to 2 years, it would be available on a much larger scale. And then there are the third-party services which will do it for you, mm-hmm. like Instacart and Google Express, which are also much more widespread.
I would suspect, just thinking about the body of consumers out there, that you've got millennials who've grown up with a smartphone in their hand and they're used to ordering and doing everything online. You have the baby boomers. As we grew up, it was the supermarket era. Our parents and our grandparents mm-hmm. probably did go to the grocery store with the list in hand, and Mr. Grocer would have the stock boy run around, put everything in a box, and deliver it to your home. So my parents mm-hmm. or grandparents did that, but am I guessing that it's these baby boomers who are used to the supermarket where I'm going to go and I'm going to squeeze that avocado for myself?
I think you've pointed out something that's absolutely right, that the younger generation, the millennials, so to speak, they are doing everything online anyway. They have a lower resistance to doing groceries online. You know, I buy books online, I buy music online, I buy clothes online. I mean, that's groceries. It's just one more thing. Whereas for the older generation, I think there is still a little bit of that hesitation about, is my produce fresh? Is the meat, you know, in the right condition and so on? But, you know, as the generations change and as e-commerce expands everywhere else, we think it would sort of get everywhere.
I'm sure it's very important for the stores to serve up an excellent experience. And you better not get a bad head of lettuce or someone will be turned off of buying groceries
online. That's exactly right. And if somebody is turned off of buying groceries online from you, then they will switch their entire business to somebody else. Mm. And I think, you know, whenever I talk to supply chain distribution industry executives in pretty much every sector, everyone is terrified of what Amazon is doing and what it has done to companies like Circuit City and Borders, right? They have gone. And Amazon is in this space. Amazon has Amazon Fresh in some cities where they do groceries online. And so many of these players, many of these retailers, are doing groceries online to some extent, to an experimental pilot extent, but they want to be there before Amazon comes and takes away all their customers and drives them out of business.
You think about what we might see in, what do you think, 25 years? What do you expect?
So in 25 years, I mean, that's very hard to forecast that far ahead, but I would expect roughly half of groceries would be online. And for many other sectors, a lot of your purchasing would be online. And in the industry, the term for this is now omnichannel, that you shouldn't really differentiate anymore between what's online and what's offline. You can be inside the retail store and buying from your phone from the website of the same company, because on the website, you see a lower price than on the shelf in front of you. And so the two channels of sales, the retail channel of sales and the online channel of sales, they're sort of merging in some sense. And that's what is called, you know, omnichannel. And the retailer's challenge is to run this efficiently, to deliver it efficiently, to run the pricing well so that you're not undercutting yourself. Your website is not undercutting your store shelves and so on.
Fascinating, fascinating. Things we never think about as we're going in and grabbing. But I know, speaking as a baby boomer, I would love something to free me from that time pushing the cart through the store. I would be all aboard it. That would be great.
Well, there's some people who would love it, and there's some people mm-hmm. who would be disappointed at losing the opportunity of the impulse purchases and of seeing the new things. So, you
well, know, now that's true. Is there less impulse purchasing? I bet stores do very well when I'm walking through and go, I didn't know I needed that, but I want it.
No, that's absolutely right. You know, in our family, between my wife and me, and I won't tell you who is who, but one of us likes impulse purchases, the other likes, you know, quick in and out, right? And so you can see one is more towards the doing it online and the other it's not.
Amitabh Sinha is an associate professor of technology and operations at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Great talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you again for having me.